One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
I am a professional writer and jet lagged AF.
And I'm a professional musician and I'm all good.
And together we toss up a new song each episode.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right, using our proprietary patented pastel.
Ooh.
Industrial strength salad spinner. We randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topic.
Yeah, tell our listeners what we did last time, Shannon.
Last time we wrote about the electric Craig.
Oh, it's electric. Craig.
Yeah. It was a folk.
Medieval folk rock. Yes. Medieval folk rock.
Yes. Song about a community that's off the power grid in up there somewhere in Canada.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. I couldn't remember the name of the island.
Why don't you tell us why you're jet lagged, Shannon?
Because I'm in the America.
In the America.
I am in the America, and I am tired. Achievement unlocked. I got my residency card in France, which means
and
that...
And came right back.
Yeah. Yep. God, I just wanted to prove I could do it, and then
check that off the list.
Mission accomplished. No, I am getting your residency card because the borders are closed right now, which they soon will be relaxing those restrictions again a bit.
Right.
But because they are closed right now, unless you have a residency card or some other extremely compelling reason, you cannot travel freely between the two countries.
Mm.
So I got my residency card and used it as an excuse to come back to the States, see family, and get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Go get vaccinated, everybody.
And stay with me, your friend Scott.
Yeah. And so we actually get to record together in person in the same room.
Yeah.
And it's lovely.
So that's why this episode is coming out a little late this week. Thanks for your patience. We wanted to do it together.
Yes, indeed.
So. Regular episode today.
Yeah, not a salable episode. Next time.
Let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic.
Let's go, because I'm falling asleep.
This week, we're writing a song in the style of...
Urban Cowboy.
About...
Red wine.
Not the drink.
It's a 2013 film.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Urban Cowboy, also a film, but also a genre.
Yeah, we were a little bit confused when we spun this because the little Google snippet came up and was describing the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we followed it to the Wikipedia page, it was just about a movie.
But there's a little snippet in the article that says the term urban cowboy was also used to describe the softcore country music of the early 1980s. Epitomized by Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Johnny Lee, Mickey Gilley, Janie Fricky. Anyway, softcore country music from the early 80s that was heard on the soundtrack to the movie Urban Cowboy.
So, an incredibly niche genre.
Yeah.
A subset of country music.
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
About another movie.
Yeah.
Red Wine from 2013. It is an Indian Malayalam language thriller film.
Woo. Okay.
So, excited to find out what this is about because the poster for the movie shows three very stern looking Indian men standing in a swirling glass of red wine.
Yeah. I really can't wait.
There is a plot here in the Wikipedia article, and then that's about it, other than the cast, a little bit about the production, release, and reception, and soundtrack, but maybe we can find a trailer?
I mean, it's 2013. You would think that this movie will have an internet presence, you know?
Hope so.
I really hope so.
All right. Well, let's do it to it.
Urban cowboy, here we come, baby.
Wow. You need a nap.
What do cowboys say? Yeehaw.
Well, they do say yeehaw, but also the tagline for the movie Urban Cowboy is hard hat days and honky tonk nights.
Is this like a sexy movie?
I hope so. Let's find out. Like an urban cowboy.
What is that?
Do you know the song Rhinestone Cowboy?
I don't.
Like a rhinestone cowboy. I was just changing rhinestone to urban.
Oh, I thought you were doing a really bad rendition of Like a Virgin.
Like an urban cowboy.
Bucked for the very first time.
Hey, there you go.
Aha.
So this music genre.
Yeah.
Was inspired by the movie Urban Cowboy, as we mentioned, because a lot of the songs from its soundtrack became exceedingly popular.
Yeah.
And caused a 1980s boom in pop country music known as the Urban Cowboy Movement or Neo Country or Hill Boogie. So we should probably talk about this movie a bit before we talk about the musical style.
Yes. Okay. This movie.
Yeah.
We got John Travolta.
We got him.
We got Deborah Winger.
Yes.
We got cowboys.
Yep.
We got a honky-tonk.
We do. The size of a football field.
I don't understand that, because sound only carries so far.
Maybe there's two bands, one at the end of each.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you're going to get, like, a weird Doppler effect.
Right.
unless you have, like, a really great sound system or something. It's very strange. But yeah, so this is a romance movie.
Okay.
And it takes place primarily, I mean, it's like in this little town of Pasadena, Texas. But the kind of like main set piece is this honky tonk called right. Gillies. And Scott, so much of this movie revolves around conflicts about riding a mechanical bull.
You know, it's a big problem in Texas.
It really is a big problem. So much marital strife around this gall dang mechanical bull.
Why don't you ever ride me the way you ride that bull?
Okay, so we've got Bud. That's John Travolta.
Hey, we got
Sissy.
Oh, hey, Sissy.
That's Deborah Winger. This movie is actually based on a real life love story of two people who met. This Gillies is a real place.
Is it based on a documentary called My Bull Teacher?
Oh,
sorry.
If you have not seen My Octopus Teacher yet, side note, go watch My Octopus Teacher. Did you see there was a tweet recently that was like, My Octopus Teacher is a documentary about a man wasting an octopus's time?
Yes. And I also saw the tweet that said the sequel to My Octopus Teacher is going to be about him meeting an eel called That's Amore.
So good. Anyway, sorry, we are so off topic.
Okay, back to the bull.
Back to the bull. Okay, so. Yeah, anyway, it was based on a real-life love story between these two people who met and, I think, worked at this place.
Sure, sure, sure.
It follows Bud, who moves to this area in order to work at like an oil refinery.
Right.
And then he meets Sissy, who I think works at Gillies.
Okay.
And they have like a whirlwind romance. They get married, but immediately they start having problems.
Ugh.
Sissy is like feisty and hot tempered, and she's a free spirit. And
John Travolta is a famous actor.
Yeah.
What's he doing there?
Celebrities, they're just like us. Bud is much more like traditional and believes in gender roles, and he wants his wife to like have a hot meal on the table when he gets home, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
The real trouble starts when Sissy wants to ride the mechanical bull and Bud forbids it.
Oh my God.
And they get in a fight and he hits her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they like are kind of like on the outs. Their marriage is on the rocks. She moves in with this other low-life guy who also frequents
the
Gillies.
Bull.
The bull. She moves in with the bull. They're very happy together. They live happily ever after. And Bud takes up with this rich oil baron's daughter. yeah. And they're just like mad at each other. And there's this kind of like cold war, I guess, between them.
Got it.
The Wes and Bud, so like the guy that Sissy takes up with and Bud, end up like fighting over Sissy. And then also because Wes controls the mechanical bull, he hurts Bud on purpose while he's riding it. There's so much about the bull. And there's like, anyway, the relationship drama is not that interesting. The man that Bud is living with, I think, is either a family friend or an uncle or something.
Mm-hmm.
He dies in an accident at the oil refinery.
Oh no.
And it's like really tragic and terrible. It's like on the same day or very near this mechanical bull riding competition.
Of course.
In which you can win $5,000.
Right.
Which in 1980 is like $1.2 million.
feels right. I'm not going to fact check that. That feels right.
It's a lot of money. But basically, it is, for these characters, it is a life-changing amount of money.
Right.
And so Bud really wants to win it, but he's all broken up about Bob. But Bob's wife encourages him because he says, like, she says, Bob would have wanted you to do it.
Bob didn't give a fuck.
Well, Bob was...
You think Bob was thinking about Bud riding the mechanical bull while he was getting his arm blown off of the oil refinery?
I mean, I don't know what happened to Bob, but Bob did train Bud in the art of mechanical bull riding.
So he was like the old trainer man from Rocky.
Yes, yes. He was his coach.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, Bud goes, he wins the mechanical bull competition.
Oh, well, good for him.
And Wes, who has become physically abusive with Sissy, but more consistently than Bud was physically abusive with her.
Yeah, I gotta go back to the one that only hit you once.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to drive to Mexico, and he wants to take Sissy to Mexico.
Okay.
And he, like, beats her up and threatens her and tells her to wait in the parking lot of Gilly's while he goes back into Gilly's, unbeknownst to Sissy, intending to steal from Gilly's. So he's gonna, like, take the money out of the safe, I think, at Gilly's.
Sure, sure, sure.
Bud sees Sissy in the parking lot. They have some kind of reconciliation because Pam had like hid a letter that said Sissy wanted to get back together, blah, 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 whatever. Not important. He sees that she's all beat up and he goes after Wes. He goes into Gilly's, interrupts the robbery. And in the course of interrupting the robbery, the staff of Gilly's all like see that Wes had all the money on him. And he is, like, caught, and the robbery is foiled, and Sissy and Bud go home together with the $5,000.
Okay.
It's wild.
All right.
If you've seen this movie, please tweet at us or tell us what you thought of it in the produce section on Facebook.
Clearly a very famous movie, was very popular in 1980, and was also turned into a Broadway musical.
Was it?
Also called Urban Cowboy. Music by, Jeff Blumenkrantz and Jason Robert Brown.
What?
Yeah.
Jason Robert Brown wrote, wow.
I was going to say Jason Robert Brown, and then I was second guessing myself. But yeah, it was the two of them.
Here's the crazy thing. This movie came out in 1980, and it was on Broadway in 2003.
Well, that's just how behind the times Broadway is.
Oh my goodness.
The tagline for the Broadway musical is "Hold on tight."
I also love the show poster for the Broadway musical, which is a man riding a mechanical bull with his shirt open and a sick glistening six pack.
Yeah, just one nipple just staring you in the eye.
Oh yeah. Sexy movie.
Sexy movie. With a sexy soundtrack.
Yeah, this like slow, kind of relaxed, low-key country music.
Right, right. The soft core, as they say, country sound of these Urban Cowboy songs, which included musicians like Jimmy Buffett, Joe Walsh, Dan Fogelberg, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, Mickey Gilley, who also played himself in the movie and who the Honky Tonk is named after, Gillies.
Oh, of course. I didn't make that connection.
He was a country star, but this movie like totally revitalized his career. Johnny Lee, Anne Murray, the Eagles, Bonnie Raitt, Charlie Daniels, who's the fiddler and singer from The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Kenny Rogers, and Boz Scaggs, Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton. So, yeah.
A real who's who.
A real hootenanny of a who's who.
A real whomst whomst. Mickey Gilley is not the only one who plays himself in this movie. There's also Bonnie Raitt, Johnny Lee, Charlie Daniels. Who else? Who else? Howard Henson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jerry Hall and Cindy Hall play sexy sisters.
Oh, hey.
Although that's neither here nor there.
Yep.
So the sound of this music, before we play an example, is, like Shannon mentioned, kind of relaxed, low-key, mostly like in the ballad category, or at least like, you know, danceable, but not breathless.
Right,
And the instrumentation is classic country band of guitars, bass, drums, a lot of pedal steel slide guitar to give that twangy sound, and also a big emphasis on lush like use of strings and choral background vocals, which I think we've talked about in the evolution of country music that became like the Nashville sound in the 1960s and 70s and persisted into when this soundtrack was created for the 1980 movie and kept its popularity throughout. So let's listen to one of Mickey Gilley's songs from the soundtrack.
Yeah.
This is a cover he did of Stand By Me, originally performed by Ben E. King in 1961, and this is Mickey Gilley's 1980 version. Darling, stand by me. Won't you stand by me? If you're in need, won't you stand by me? It had all the things.
It had all the things
that I talked about.
it did, yes. Something I think is kind of interesting about, well, first of all, let me back up. Let's talk about the themes of the songs on this soundtrack, which are going to be, anytime you're talking about, most of the time when you're talking about country music, you're talking about love songs, you're talking about dance songs.
Love, dance.
And you're talking about the arts and careers of the country.
Yeah.
Like being a cowboy, living the country life.
Right, right, right.
The actual like land and community that you're in.
Yeah. And when you say love songs, usually the type of love song is like the loss of love or unrequited love or pining after someone who doesn't love you back.
It's similar to blues in that way. And like, that's where that kind of vein, that's the thread that kind of like goes through this genre. It's like, you know, my baby left me. No one will ever be as good as my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like there's also a couple songs on this soundtrack where the theme is like, won't you be my love forever? Won't you be like my one and only love, which fits with the theme of the movie.
For sure.
Of like, these two are meant to be. They're star-crossed lovers, you know?
Yeah, and something that another thing that I think is interesting is soundtracks aren't necessarily entirely original compositions, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks like there were some singles that were on this soundtrack that were like, I don't know, would you say that they're like created for this?
Yeah, some of them were produced and released as part of this soundtrack, and then some of them were recorded and released separately and just used on the soundtrack. So it was a mix of both, yeah.
So what I think's interesting about that is that this genre is sort of like half or three quarters like curated.
Yeah.
Like it's not like this sound organically grew out of the larger genre of contemporary country music.
Right.
It's like somebody went and cherry picked these songs that all had sort of similar themes and put them together and created this micro genre.
Yeah, it was a guy named Irving Azoff.
Oh, okay.
He was the producer of the album, so.
Wow, yeah. Good job, Irving.
Good job, Irving. Let's listen to one of those Won't You Be My Love Forever songs. This is Anne Murray singing Could I Have This Dance?
Forever.
When we're together, it feels so right. Could I have this dance for the rest of my life? I'll always remember that magic moment when I held you close.
So again, schmaltzy, country ballad, pining after this love.
Very slow two-stepping.
Two-stepping.
Yeah. In addition to all these love songs, like we said, there are a lot of dance songs on this soundtrack, as you might expect, considering that the movie is set in a dance hall.
Yeah. This one's a little bit more up-tempo. This, did I say
up-tempo. Yeah.
This is Johnny Lee looking for love, and you'll hear that this is probably like about as, like, quick as these songs get.
Telling those sweet lies and losing again. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. Searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of. Hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day discover another heart.
Yeah, so this clearly is another lyric that fits the film and the plot. Looking for love in all the wrong places. You fall for the guy that treats you wrong, you know? So I think we could do this. I've got all of these instruments in my arsenal ready to go.
Yeah, I've got a lot of feelings, so...
And I'm sure that the movie Red Wine also has a lot of feelings.
Oh my goodness. I've totally forgot what our genre was until you just said that. And I absolutely cannot wait. This isn't a Bollywood film.
No, it's not.
So,
no.
I mean, what I associate with Bollywood is like big, bombastic soap opera kind of.
Right.
But so I'm curious where this fits in.
It says it's a thriller. So Hoo-hoo. We'll see. All right, here we go. Red, red wine.
Listen to me.
See, you knew that one.
Yeah.
But you didn't know Rhinestone Cowboy.
No. Who sings Rhinestone Cowboy? Uh-huh.
Not Johnny Cash.
Look at you Googling. If Johnny Cash sings Rhinestone
Glenn
Cowboy,
Campbell.
I will eat a cowboy hat.
Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, okay.
I will eat a rhinestone cowboy
hat. Okay, so this film. First of all, when we read the very initial description of it, we said it was a 2013 Indian
Malayalam.
Malayalam, thank
That's
you.
That's how I'm going to interpret it.
Yeah. Malayalam language thriller film directed by Salam Bapu and written by Maman K. Rajan. And it's based on a story by Nufal Blathor. We looked up Malayalam.
Yes.
And it is one of, there are a lot of languages in India. It is one of 22 like official languages of India.
Mm-hmm.
And it is spoken by 2.88% of the population of India, which sounds small until you remember how many gall-dang people are in India. there's about 4 million people who speak this language.
And it's like basically one state called Kerala in the southwestern corner of India where this language is spoken.
Right. So it stars, so the three men on the poster sitting in a glass of red wine. So we were able to find a trailer.
Yes. Not, well, sort of in English, some lines in English.
Some lines in English, which I think is like, I mean, English, considering that India was a colony of Great Britain for a while, English is kind of like a little bit sprinkled in everywhere. So not too surprising, I suppose. But the trailer didn't give us much.
No, it just had general tension.
Yeah.
lots
of chase scenes.
Yeah, this is clearly a murder mystery movie. And it seems like, from what we can tell, like an extended episode of CSI or something.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, one murder where there's a lead detective trying to solve the case and the whole movie is just that.
A modern cop movie.
Yeah. So what's the plot? The assistant commissioner of police, the character's name is Rathish Vasudevan.
Sure.
Sure. He is hired to solve the murder of a man named Anoop C.V., who is a part-time actor in local plays. During his investigation, the police commissioner learns that Anoop, the victim, was involved in leftist activities and opted, this is what Wikipedia says, opted for helping the local population rather than using his engineering degree to get a well-paying job.
I can't tell what shade that sentence is throwing.
I know.
Is it throwing shade on him choosing to opt out of a well-paying job to help people, or is it throwing shade on getting a well-paying job and congratulating him for helping people?
No, I think it's throwing shade on him for not taking the well-paying job and instead helping people.
Because he's a leftist.
Yeah. There's another plot description that we found that gives a little bit more info on this. It says that he is actually the local secretary of a leftist political outfit in the town of Wayanad, and he's killed in a hotel room in Kozhikode, a town where he had come to perform in a drama.
Mm-hmm.
So the other characters in the movie apparently don't have much to do with the plot.
Except for the third guy who is, I think there's like an automobile executive
who's
suspicious, and it's I think it's heavily hinted that he is, if not the murderer, heavily involved in the murder.
Right. It says he is behaving in a strange way, even as his pregnant wife needs him by her side. All the reviews of this movie basically say that you can kind of figure out the plot from the get-go. It's not that interesting or well constructed of a thriller, but it's not a terrible movie. It's just predictable
and somehow still 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
Yeah, the whole thing's available on YouTube if you want to watch it in some language. It's definitely dubbed in another language, but I can't figure out what.
Probably another language of India, hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know, but we were saying that it's likely, I assume, that most movies that are made in India in any of these 22 official languages are probably translated into the 21 others.
Yeah, or at least many of them.
Yeah.
So I think the three men on the poster are the police commissioner, the victim, of which there are like numerous flashbacks, even though the kind of construct of it is that the cop is trying to solve the murder and there are flashbacks to what really happened the night of the murder.
Yeah.
It's the automobile executive, the murder victim, and the cop.
What we don't know is why this movie is called Red Wine.
Red Wine figures nowhere in the plot that we can see.
Or the trailer.
Or the trailer. It is the poster art and the name of the whole ass film. I wonder if it's like he's murdered by poisoned red wine.
Maybe.
Or like there's a red wine stain that like unlocks the whole thing.
Maybe. Or maybe there's like some cultural association with red wine that we aren't aware of.
That's possible.
Like maybe it's always a sinister thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're going to make it up.
We are going to make it up. I think this is great for a jumping off point for a country western song.
Yeah,
a murder, a cop. Come on.
Yeah, there was enough drama in the movie Urban Cowboy that inspired the songs in the soundtrack. We can use this drama for our Urban Cowboy song.
For sure. I mean, what are cowboys popularly depicted?
Except murderers.
Oh, I was going to say, except cops of the prairie. Like, they're basically cops. Like, think about, sheriffs, sure, are like a sort of different thing. But think about spaghetti westerns. Like, the whole canon of, like, western movies in America, the cowboys are always the good guys who are going after the bad guys. They're cops. Yep.
But in the case of Urban Cowboy, the whole job is to ride a mechanical bull.
While looking sexy.
And hitting your wife.
Yeah. Wow, lots of big issues today. Speaking of India.
Yeah?
If you can, please donate to relief organizations in India right now.
Yes.
They're getting absolutely devastated by COVID right now. And their infrastructure is not great. And the population is really suffering.
If you search Crooked Media on Instagram, you can see a post that they published on Tuesday, April 27th. The post says, how to help amid India's devastating COVID surge. And you can see that they've posted a bunch of links to different organizations and rapid response crews that are in need of help. So lots of different ways to help out there.
What a nice coincidence that we have an opportunity to talk about it through this strange, very niche film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you want to approach the lyrics?
Ooh, I mean, like, let's think about that pregnant wife who needed her husband at home.
Yes.
I mean, come on, that's drama. That's country music drama.
He was off murdering someone when he could have just been a dad.
Yeah. I like that. So, like, I like that relationship conflict.
Okay.
Just because it ties really clearly to the movie.
Yeah.
And the themes in the movie. But I do think that, like, there is something about, like, the violence, too.
Mm.
That, I mean, country music. Kind of remember. Like, speaking of Johnny Cash a few moments ago.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Johnny Cash songs like have that kind of like hyper masculine aggro.
Oh yeah.
But in that kind of like simmering country way.
Mm.
So and I do think that there is some of that in the movie too.
Should we write the song from the perspective of the murderer being conflicted about whether he should murder or stay with his pregnant wife?
Maybe. It's like a man torn between love and what he sees as his duty or something.
Yeah, two different kinds of passion, if you know what I mean.
I'm liking where this is going.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll noodle.
And I'll noodle on my slide guitar.
Okay, sounds good.
Here we go. All right, Shannon.
Yes, Scott.
How are those jet lag lyrics?
I think they're very good.
Yay.
And maybe I only think they're good because I am jet lagged.
Ooh, theme song.
Mm. You tell me what you think of this because I wrote a song.
Okay.
And I did take the concept of a man. Okay, there are a lot of weird gender roles things in the movie.
That's right. There are.
Yeah, like a lot of the conflict comes from like women are to do this and men are to do that. Sorry, I know that's like from the musical Oklahoma is how they all say like what you are to do.
Everything's up to date in 2013.
Okay, so I also know I am not making, well, I am making a broad generalization, I guess.
Yeah.
About like Indian culture, which I know is also much more, has much stronger gender norms than a lot of places in Europe and the US.
I think that's fair.
I think that, yeah, I think it is highly individual and very culturally dependent, but I think that is true.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play on the idea of this murderer who's just like, honey, I just got to do my job.
Which is murdering.
Which is murdering.
Pregnant honey.
Yeah. Okay. So I wrote a verse and then a chorus that I think we can repeat.
Okay.
And I think it's got that good, like, melancholy, can be kind of slow, but, like, strong.
Yeah.
Here we go. The verse. A man's got to do what a man's meant to do, and a woman can't get in his way. When a leftist makes trouble, there ain't no escaping.
No.
A man knows when he's got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the chorus.
Darn tootin'.
Oh, don't tie me down. I'm destined for murder. Tell all the children I ain't no shirker. Let me go, honey. There's actors need often. A real man sends another to his coffin.
Ooh. Often and coffin. I like it.
Obviously, I leaned real hard into the twang.
Yes.
But I think that that is appropriate.
I think it's appropriate, too. This was like full on cowboy hats, bolo ties, thick twang kind of country music.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great.
Thank you. I just love the ridiculousness of being like, I'm a real man, and that means I do murders. Like, what?
Honey, but, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
No, I think I understand.
No, I get it. You're a criminal. No, it's a matter of duty.
Oh, don't time it down. I was like, tell all the children. I got nothing to hide.
Yeah. I ain't no shirker. It's like the beginning of Game of Thrones, wherever Ned Stark's like, if you got to execute someone, you got to do it yourself. And he like hands him the sword or whatever. Like, it's just a, you know, incredibly outdated by Western stand, from a Western point of view, way to view gender roles and, you know, violence as a moral obligation.
Yeah. I think this is very tied into the movie as well, just because it's like, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, which is ride a mechanical bull. And you better not try to do that, woman, or else I'm going to hit you.
Yes.
Which is, it's literally like a game.
It's a game. It's a game. Thing that people, that drunk co-eds do at bars.
It's a bachelorette party thing now.
Oh my God. Yes, it is. Like, if you can ride a mechanical bull in a place that is selling like 2-for-1 Cosmos, like, I really don't think it's a matter of your like masculinity anymore.
No. Well, I'm going to put all of this on top of some instruments to make a song.
On top of a mechanical bull. Just shake it on up.
That the band is called The Mechanical Bull.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Because we're riding it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got drums.
Mm.
Very laid back cross stick drums. You know what cross stick is?
I know what an cross stick is.
Not the same.
Oh.
It's when you take your drumstick and you put it across the snare drum and click on the rim. So it's like dun, dun,
oh, dun. That's I like a cross that. Stick. Okay.
So here's the drums. Then, got electric bass. Here's the bass.
Mm-hmm.
Acoustic guitar.
Of course.
Pedal steel guitar. Now, let's talk about what that is.
Yeah.
So, if you've ever seen what looks like somebody sitting at a very small, thin table with strings on it.
Uh-huh.
That's a pedal steel guitar.
Interesting.
The way you play it is you put your hands on top of it, and you use one hand to strum and pluck the strings. The other hand has a glass, like, bottleneck, basically, like a slide on it, that you move to slide up and down the frets. And then you have pedals to help you change key and tone as you're playing.
Cool. So it's kind of like, I mean, I was going to say something dumb, which is, it's a string instrument. But I mean that in like, it seems more like a zither than a guitar.
Yeah, it looks more like one for sure. Mm. And it has that classic twangy country sound with all the slide and about.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here it is.
Yeah. Cool. Iconic.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Very iconic for this genre.
Yeah.
In addition to those instruments, I'm going to have some sweeping strings.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are.
It was the 80s after all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some of these songs used synth strings, not even real strings, but, you know, so I guess I got that right.
Yeah.
Just going to add some nice choral background vocals, too.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's going to be great.
I think it's great, and I don't think that's just the jet lag and half a vaccine talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, title?
Destined for Murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. Got it in one.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Here is Destined for Murder.
An urban cowboy song.
By the Mechanical Bulls.
About red wine?
A 2013 Indian Malayalam language movie.
By Shannon and Scott.
Man's gotta do what a man's meant to do, and a woman can't get in his way. When a leftist makes trouble, there ain't no escape, and a man knows when he's gotta pay. Oh, don't tie me down, I'm destined for murder. Tell all the children I ain't no sugar. Let me go, honey. There's actors need often. A real man sends another to his coffin. Don't tie me down, I'm destined for murder. Tell all the children I ain't no sugar. Let me go, honey. There's actors need often. A real man sends another to his coffin. Real men send their friends to the grave.
Instant classic.
I was just going to say, I bet this would chart.
In 1980 or now?
Anytime. Timeless. Anytime. Timeless.
Timeless.
Those synth strings are timeless, man.
It's true.
Meaning
it's true.
You could bury them for 1,000 years and they'd still sound the same when you dug
there
them
you
out.
Go. That's it. It's like doomsday prepper instruments. They never go bad.
I like that idea. That's what synths are. They're non-perishable instruments. Unlike that guitar that we learned about that the rats ate.
Oh, yeah.
That Egyptian.
Yeah, I forget what it was called.
And it wasn't an oud, but it was like
something
an oud.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, camel skin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun combination of movie genre and movie topic.
Indeed. Yeah, double feature.
Double feature.
Woo.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
If you've missed going to the movies, this hopefully gave you a little fix.
Sure. Let's go with that.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah. Listening to a podcast about writing a song inspired by two extremely disparate movies is just like seeing two movies.
America's back. Biden said it himself.
We're back.
We're back.
We're on the move again.
Well, this was thrilling to do an in-person episode with you, Shannon.
It was, and it was not without a good deal of trouble to get my microphone back into this country. Because when I was leaving France this weekend, Charles de Gaulle Airport was a crazy mess. Mm. And the security line, especially, was
very backed up and running extremely inefficiently. And it was extremely frustrating, not just to the passengers, but also the staff were getting very irritated because of the dysfunction of what was going on. And they, despite the inefficiency of how they were running things through the security machines, they were flagging every piece of luggage for additional additional screening, including three of the four things I had to put on the conveyor belt. One of them was a liquid issue and, a hidden bottle of hand sanitizer I forgot about. Another one was like looking at my toiletries real close. And then the third thing was my actual suitcase, which they pulled off the conveyor belt. And I was like, what could there possibly be in my suitcase? I know exactly what I put in there. Come on. And so the woman, and granted, okay, just keep this in mind, didn't really sleep well the night before. It's 8 a.m. It's extremely crowded and busy. I'm frustrated. And it's all in French. you can't forget about the fact that all of this is happening at me in French.
Right.
And my French is okay, but it's not amazing. So the security woman grabs my bag and she's like, do you have, and then she said a word that I thought meant microwave in your bag. And I was like, microwave? And I just like repeated the word to her, clearly not understanding what she asked. And then she mimed a microphone and she said in English, microphone. And I was like, oh, yes, I do have a microphone. Is that not permitted? She's like, no, it is, but we need to do, like, we need to swab it. And she had, you know, one of those little weird paper blotter tester things for like bomb residue or something.
It looks like a little mini like lacrosse stick, but with paper on it to test for bombs.
It looks fake as hell.
Yeah,
like it looks like it cannot possibly do the job that it's supposed to do, which is detect bomb chemicals or something. So anyway, so the woman opens my bag and she's like, "Where is the microphone?" And I was like, tout en bas. Like,
where's the microphone?
Where's the microphone if you want to live? And so I said, like, it's under everything. And she was like, okay. So she starts digging through and she's like, here? And I'm like, no, literally was the first thing I put in my suitcase because I was afraid I was going to forget it. And it is at the bottom of my life for the next month. So she digs through, she finds the microphone. She's doing her little swabby thing with the paper. And she jokingly was like, do you have a podcast? Or like, are you a podcaster? And I just felt so red for filth at that moment. And I was like, I do have a podcast, which made her laugh because I do not think she was expecting me to say yes. And then she was like, okay. And was like doing the bomb thing. And then I felt compelled to, in broken French, explain to her the concept of song salad, which is very difficult to do. And at the end of it, she said, well, I learned something today.
So if you're listening.
If you're listening, woman who I did not even say the name of the podcast to in the Charles de Gaulle airport at 8 a.m. when everybody was mad at everybody. But then when I packed up my suitcase and left, she said, bon voyage. And she also said, bon podcast, which I really enjoyed.
I think we have a new sign off.
Bon podcast?
Yeah.
Bon podcast is good.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. Bon appetit. Bon podcast.
That's it.
Voila.
Voila.
C'est ça.
C'est son.
Saison.
Saison.
Sincère.
Camille Saison.
Oh, goodness. Anyway.
Very good.
I have my mic.
You have your mic.
Yes.
It all worked out.
Yes.
And we recorded an ep.
We did.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you
to all of our friends on Patreon, on Facebook, in the Song Salad Podcast Produce section group, and on Twitter at Song Salad Cast.
Yeah. Join us there.
Join us all those places.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And I am still jet lagged.
And this has been Song Salad. Bon appetit.
Et bon podcast.
Et bon podcast.
3, 4.